Wait a minute. Every single one of these trees has like 5 koalas in it, and there's like 20 trees. Hello and welcome to another episode of Goddess Hangs.
Episode 122.
And just so everyone knows, this is actually take 2 because we recorded this whole episode and I was not in it. It did not record me.
And you know what's so funny? We had this moment, like, so we figured out when we came back into the program today, it was like, warning, this one isn't recording. And I said, Sadie, I got to tell you, I saw that warning, but I didn't read it. And I X'd out and I said, what is this in the way? I said, I think it was my fault. And she goes, oh, no, I saw the same thing. And I X'd
out. We were like, oh, can't believe Riverside did this to us. It was our own fault. That we have no one to blame but ourselves. And I also don't have my podcast stand, so I get to hold... I feel like a newscaster. I get to hold my microphone today. If I start...
Love it.
Not holding it by my mouth, just remind me, because...
I'll snap.
I like to talk with my hands. Sadie, focus.
Get that whole head of the screen. Back it up. Back it up. There you are. All right. She's ready to pod.
Ready.
All right, who are we? Let's introduce ourselves.
Oh my God, I'm Sadie.
And I'm Juliet, obviously.
Obviously. And we created the Goddess Hangs podcast to inspire you to live magically.
Feel magic.
Magically. And oh my gosh, we already recorded this whole podcast episode. So I'm going to feel like I'm having deja vu the whole time. I'm like, how did we start? and we're gonna you're gonna see us be in shock and awe of each other's what's new with me. I never heard that before. This is news to me.
Never in my life. I never saw that koala photo. I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh my God. But before we dive into what's new with us, really quickly, we're really excited about today's episode that we are recording for a second time. Because we're so passionate about it, the universe was like, ladies. Guess what? You're going to get to keep talking about it. Because it really is one of our favorite topics. What we're most passionate about is dripping in discomfort. Because the discomfort zone is where the magic happens. And we're going to dig deeper into this, but just think about all of the big things you've manifested in your life that you really wanted. Maybe it was a dream job or meeting your spouse or whatever it is, your soulmate. Think about how uncomfortable some of that process was to get there, right? Like going on a first date and being really nervous, going on the job interview. When we're really invested in something and we really want it, it's fucking uncomfortable to get there. So we're going to talk about how we manifest amazing things in our lives by embracing the discomfort. And we've sort of shifted the energy around it. And we're like, discomfort is sexy. Feeling uncomfortable is, makes me a little hot and bothered. Ooh. And this is the theme that we're teaching on in the Alchemy Collective this month. So if this episode gets you all hot and bothered, then the place for you is the Alchemy Collective. We have a masterclass this week that you can join us live for if you join the Alchemy Collective earlier in the week on Thursday, that we're going to go deep into dripping in discomfort and how to embrace the fuck out of it. So you're invited. The Alchemy Collective. It's our favorite place to be, to alchemize shit into gold, to alchemize life into art. Ugh, we love it. And one final reminder that we always have available a free 51-page Manifest Like Magic guidebook that if you don't have it already, or if you're new around here and you're like, oh, what? Go get it. And it has a great guide to all of the episodes, the past episodes that are about love magic or abundance and money mindset and all of these things. So especially if you're new to our world, make sure you get that guide because there's lots of goodies in it.
And okay, wait, one last.
Oh my God.
We have our Bali girls bought their flights. Some of them bought their flights. The rest are buying their flights. It's happening. So we have, you know, we've been promoting the Epic Bali Bundle, where if you come on this amazing retreat with us, which we're just going to cry the whole time and be so happy together and hug, and lead workshops and do our job as well. But it's going to be amazing. We are also gifting every attendee, because it is a big trip around the world. We understand that. We are gifting you, it's $5,000 in our best and most transformative courses and programs, and it's all yours. Ooh, so when you come on the trip, you are marking the beginning of a whole new chapter in your life. And when you come home, you land back home, all the courses are yours. You get a year inside the Alchemy Collective, close group mentorship with us. It's going to be amazing. So we have three spots left. Three spots left for this epic Bali bundle. So I know somebody's listening to this and you're either like driving to work, or you're cleaning the kitchen, or you're like walking on the treadmill, or laying in bed, or doing 10 other things. And you're thinking, I'm not the kind of person. I'm like, yes, you are. Let's do it. Let's go. Let's have fun. Let's drip in discomfort together. Woo-hoo! And travel around the world. Mm-hmm. Okay, without further ado, Juliet, what's new with me? So I actually have, I can add some new things from.
Really quick, I think maybe turn your mic down slightly because it keeps crackling a little bit.
Oh, shoot. Okay. Hello? Is that a little better?
Just we're getting excited and we're both yelling and I don't want it to crack too much because I know. Okay.
Just
I
think me it's better screaming. Now. Okay.
We get excited. This is helpful in my hand because I can go like this. Ah! I can just move it when I want to scream. So I'll use that later.
You're like a professional singer. You really are.
So what's new with you?
What's new with me? Kind of a lot. So the first is that I got this intuitive download that I never saw coming, that it is time for young Juliet to try a life tapered off of her antidepressants. Can you believe it? Are you shocked? Are you shocked? This is like the eighth time I've talked about this with you.
Okay. Well, I already knew this, so I am feigning shock right now. But I want us all to remember how many times Juliet has mentioned that she's going to be on that particular medication for the rest of your life. And so it is a huge deal, and it's really exciting that you're ready to like try something different, try something new. Or
I'm ready to try
out or navigate. Yeah.
It's a little scary because I've been on it for 4 years and it 100% was the best decision I ever made and saved my life and has made things so I was able to enjoy life. Like where I was at the start was like panic attacks constantly and, just not functional. I was not functioning. It was really, really bad. And so that was something that was an option and I was really open to it. And I really am passionate about talking about this because there's a lot of crap that's like, it'll close your third eye and you won't be spiritual and it'll completely numb you. And maybe some people have that experience. I'm not discounting that. But it really helped me a lot, and it has helped many, 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 many members of my family. It's very genetic. So something came over me about a week ago, and this voice, like clear as day, was like, it's time. It's time. There's a lot of side effects that I've been dealing with for 4 years that were livable but very annoying, and it just seemed for the longest time like, well, this is still much better than how my life was before. I just feel like I'm going to try. And I have no expectations. I have another medicine as a, not even a backup, but as an option that's like the prescription's been filled. I may switch to that one. I may try without anything. And we'll see. And I'll keep you all updated because, you know, I'm just curious. I'm curious if it's something that like is just going to be inside of me forever and ever. And I need to just always take care of myself in a medicinal way, or if it's mm-hmm. that was like just a really difficult season of life. I'm not sure, but it's been interesting. Yeah. You know, if you are on medicine, don't ever just stop taking it. You have to like have a tapering off plan, because although, I mean, I'm on Lexapro, it's not addictive. When you stop taking it, your body goes through like a huge withdrawal and it's not fun. So mm-hmm. I'm doing my tapering and I'm experiencing some weird things. It's not like a headache. But it's like in one particular spot in my head, it feels like there's a little caterpillar on a jackhammer. That's one way I can describe it.
Oh, interesting.
And then I have this like eye pressure, like somebody's pushing on the back of my eyes like I've never felt before. That's not fun. I look forward to that being done because it's not comfortable. But emotionally, yeah. I'm still vibing. So we'll
that's
see.
Good.
But
that's huge.
Yeah. So... I don't know. I can't even explain it. I've been sort of thinking about it for a while. And then this voice was like, you're good. Now, will I be good? I don't know. And is there any shame if I'm not good? No. So, and did I manifest this? No, I think my brain just might be in a better place than it was a few years ago. So I'm excited. Yeah, I'm excited.
For anyone who I guess needs like encouragement to take that path, because there is a lot of stigma in the spiritual world around like medication. Gabby Bernstein shares a ton about how, I'm not exactly sure what she was prescribed. I'm sure she shares, but getting, you know, medicinal support for postpartum depression. And mm-hmm. I mean, you know, she's one of the biggest people ever in the manifesting and spiritual world. So if you want to, you know, see someone who is one of, you know, our most influential women in our world. Oh, there's a big bird outside of the window, Australia. She talks about it really openly and it's really inspiring. And Juliet has talked about it very openly and been very inspiring about it too. And so, yeah, just know that like there's no one right choice, you know, that you have mm-hmm. to do. Your quality of life is so fucking important, and it's your choice how to balance different side effects and when it's the right time to get that extra support and when it's the right time to, you know, when your intuition says maybe it's time to try being without this. And, you know, that's all just such a unique journey. Mm-hmm. So we're cheering you on, anyone who's going through that and questioning that for yourself to make the right choice for you.
Yeah. I mean, it's been a little magic spell for me and I've been very grateful for it. And if I didn't have these particular side effects, I would probably just take it forever and ever. But I'm like, ugh, I wonder if I can go without. So we'll see. But just know, like Sadie said, that we support you in whatever your choices mm-hmm. are. And, you know, a magical life is a life where you take care of yourself and a life where you take care of your mental health and a life where you're happy. So mm-hmm. we love you. We support you. So that's yes, one thing that's new with me. The next thing that's new with me is I started reading my original Bible, not a Bible, but it was like my Bible. And I have to tell you about this because anybody listening who like needs some poetry, some romanticism, some magic that they can just get lost in. Every time I feel a little lost, I dive back into this book. I mean, I got it when I was 13 and it still does amazing things for me. So there's an author and her name is Francesca Leah Block. She's incredible. She, like, if you know, people are like, this album changed my life and it shaped me as who I am. This book is so responsible. So the collection of all the Wheatsy Bat books is called Dangerous Angels. Whoops, sorry, the mirror confuses me. But let me just read this paragraph. I was like, I'm going to do a quick reading. Okay. He kissed her, a kiss about apple pie a la mode, with the vanilla creaminess melting in the pie heat. A kiss about chocolate when you haven't eaten chocolate in a year. A kiss about palm trees speeding by, trailing pink clouds, and when you drive down the strip sizzling with champagne. A kiss about spotlights fanning the sky and the swollen sea spilling like tears all over your legs. That's one paragraph. The whole book is like this. And she's this amazing little character. I think she's like 17 when the book starts. And all she wants to do is meet her soulmate and be in a band and be magical and live in Los Angeles. And she romanticizes everything. And there's like witches in LA. And there's all these. I mean, my whole life, like I look back now and I'm like, wow, I've never been more influenced by anything. By anything.
How interesting how that worked out.
I am Weetsy Bat as an adult. So I've been reading that book and yeah, it's definitely in the young adult fiction. Young adult fiction category, but go get it. Like, go get it. Go on this journey with me. Sadie, you would love it. You would love it.
I need to get it.
And as I sort of, you know, have less of this medicine in my system, I can't put my finger on it. And it's not like it was bad before, because it wasn't. I'm just feeling between that and like reading this book again, I'm like, oh, there you are. It's interesting. I could like, I'm like, ah, it's a lot. So I brought that to the beach yesterday. Victor had a day off of work and we went to the beach and we laid in the sun and I read this book, listened to the water. And then I was like, let's go do a cold plunge, which I have never said that. Never have I ever been like, let's go in the freezing water. That'd be fun.
Craig and I used to do that. We're both feeling a little off today. We need to go. We'd be like, we'd have an argument. We'd be like, it's time to go in the water. We'd go take a cold plunge.
You inspired me. And I also felt like, you know, we're teaching dripping and discomfort. I was like, nothing sounds more uncomfortable, but it's going to feel really good. So Victor, of course, dives right in. I'm being a little weenie about it. And I eventually sort of end up on my hands and knees where like all of me eventually gets wet, but I didn't like dunk in. And my reasoning was not because the water was cold, but because at this particular beach, the sand, like the amount of shells and scratchiness, and it was like painful. We say discomfort, we don't want to be in physical agony. Okay. But I got like halfway uncomfortable. How about that? But it felt really good. It was dreamy. We all have to celebrate our little wins, right?
Yes.
My no almost such thing cold a little plunge. Win.
They're all wins.
My halfway. And then I put up a TikTok Instagram post today where I was sitting in my bikini up on the roof. And I so if you're like, what does Juliet look like under those clothes?
Go look.
A vision. Mm-hmm. And the post is really cute. A goddess. The post is really cute. Part of being on Lexapro was I gained about 15 to 20 pounds. And I always was just like, whatever. That was my weight loss journey was to be like, I don't care. So, it's really cute. I'm like up there rubbing crystals all over myself. And the idea is how to have a hot, witchy summer, how to prepare your body for this hot, witchy summer. And because I know we're all about to get inundated with like, here's how to lose weight. Lose weight if you want to lose weight. But there's going to be this pressure from all these angles to have like a bikini body, a summer body. And I'm trying to like get this information out before we get like steamrolled with all that stuff.
You know what a summer body is? It's a body when it's summer.
Yes, absolutely. So that was new. And then, oh God, wait, this is funny. So I don't know what came over Victor, but last night he's like, I'm going to organize this entire kitchen. I'm like, who are you? This is a guy who I'm sitting in the office right now is very messy, like not an organized guy. Like, I'm like, can you organize the office? The kitchen's not that bad. But he gets out a label maker, which who knew we owned. And he starts labeling every single thing in the kitchen. There's a label for where the cheese grater goes. There's a label for where the pots go based on their quart size. There's a label for what kinds of Tupperware go where. He's like, everything needs to be perfect. I was like, okay.
What I want to know is I want an astrologer to look at his chart and tell us what was happening on this particular day, because there was something in the stars happening that Victor was like, time to organize.
He alphabetized the spices. They are in alphabetical order.
All of his planets were in Virgo. Every single
Honest
one.
Honest to God.
Every single one.
If you open our pantry right now.
Like a dream.
If you open our pantry right now, there is a shelf that says, this is how the shelves are organized. I don't know how I'm going to put anything away, but if you think I didn't praise, honey, wow. This is where women get it wrong with men. Most women would walk in and say, oh, why would you put that there? That man will never organize anything ever again, as long as you know him. Everything could have been upside. He put the bowls that I use the most in the most inconvenient spot for me. I can't reach them. I said, this looks amazing. At another time, I will move them. Okay.
So you don't complain when someone loads the dishwasher wrong. You say, thank you for loading the dishwasher.
Oh my God.
And if you have to, reorganize it, but don't discourage them from doing so.
No. I came in, I said, oh, this pantry. I said, I've never seen anything like this. As if I don't watch like the home edit on Netflix. This is unbelievable. This is how he categorized the four shelves. Okay. The bottom shelf is on a label, printed on a label. It's tinfoil, plastic bags, and oats. That's the bottom shelf.
And oats.
The next shelf is Italian things. It's like spaghettis and pastas and sauces. Somehow the curry ended up on that shelf, but I didn't ask. Oh, I didn't ask. Okay. The next shelf, this one killed me. And I need to paint the picture, okay? I'm in the bedroom talking to my mom on the phone at like 10 o'clock at night. He's out here. You know what motivates him? Disney songs. So I'm hearing him tear apart the kitchen to the soundtrack of Ala Kazula Badadaduda. Put it together and what are you got? I'm like, this man. The third shelf is called Little Grabs. Parentheses. Popcorn, honey. I'm like, what's a little grab?
Little grab.
It's cute.
Okay, I thought this was gonna be like granola bars, fruit nope. cups.
Maybe. Those
honey
could go
isn't
on the little
grab to
shelf.
Me. A little grab is a snack.
and honey. And then
honey.
The top
okay.
shelf says Victor's things and miscellaneous. And that's where the protein powders and everything else go. Oh my God. Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. It was the most precious thing I've ever seen. He's been really into watching videos on like van life. He's like, I could buy this van. I'm like, I don't mean to break it to you, but I'm not living in a van. Like, this is not.
All men go through a van life phase. Craig is obsessed with van life. I would do it for like a summer, but I'm not, you know, living like that permanently.
I would do it. For lunch. I would eat lunch in a van.
I would do for lunch. I want to come back to Australia. We're road tripping so fast. We had to drive the whole coast, half the coast at dark last night. I saw nothing when I finally leave Brisbane. So I'm coming back to a road trip in Australia. And I would like to rent like a very fancy large van. And I will not be driving it. Someone I manifest who loves to drive is going to drive it. Mm-hmm. And I would love to do van life for like 2 months. going down the coast very slowly instead of very quickly and not seeing anything like we're doing right now. But then I would like to stay in a luxurious hotel occasionally throughout those 2 months.
Mm-hmm.
Right now I'm staying in a very grungy motel on a highway.
Dripping in discomfort. No, you're fine. I'm sure it's fine.
I took a shower this morning. There's no shower curtain, so the whole bathroom is just wet. But that's good preparation because all of the showers are like that in Korea. They're just a shower head in the bathroom. There's no... Everything just gets wet. So we're just preparing ourselves.
Just a wet and wild spring.
I'm just having a wet and wild spring.
So dripping, yeah, I've been literally. Watching him... I've been watching him at night watch all these, like, here's how I organized my van and everything's like organized really nicely. I'm like, is that what inspired this? Like, do you want to bring the van to our apartment? And well, I told this to Irene because I'm always like, we got to move. And she's like, honey, I don't think you're going anywhere. You just put labels for the cheese grater. Like,
good luck.
So, yeah.
No, whatever we'll gets him organized. That. That's great. That's great.
I know. I'm like, next, the office. He's like, everything is labeled. I'm like, but you don't put it back. But yeah, yeah. All my ladies, listen up. If your guy does something nice, just praise. Just praise. Or do whatever you want. I don't care. Okay, so let's move away from me. Because Sadie, I know you have some very interesting travel stories. What's new with you?
Oh my God. Well, I'm still in Australia. The first time we recorded this, which you'll never hear.
No.
I was still at my very nice Airbnb that I was the week prior. My hosts were just the best there. They were so cute. They were so sweet. They were very concerned that I wasn't doing enough. They were like, this bitch needs to leave the house. They were like, you could kept messaging me stuff or popping in being like, you could do this today if you want. And I was like, I don't want.
You're like, I'm fine.
Liz and Kath, listen, I don't do much. This is my week to not do anything. But I did do things. The biggest thing I did last week was I went to the Lone Pine Koala Sanctuary in Brisbane, or it's a little outside Brisbane. If you visit Brisbane, you have to go here. It's unbelievable. It's not just koalas. It's like a small zoo. And I'm going to talk about I went to another zoo. I'm going to talk about that zoo experience next week because it's too much. But yesterday I also went to the Australia Zoo, which is also the Irwin family zoo. Zoos here are fucking, there's no rules. Okay. They're open. They're free range. I mean, the tigers aren't walking around or anything. Okay. But I was like, it just feels like there should be more people watching us. But like we mentioned, Americans, we just can't handle the freedom.
No.
We are so happy in America, not me and Juliet, but it's just a so happy culture. Like everyone's looking for an excuse to say, you screwed me, this and that. I just think it's not like that in Australia. I don't know. But I was like, okay, so let me paint the picture. I go to the Lone Pine Koala Sanctuary. I had to get up very, very early. I'm going to tell a very dramatic story about how I completely fucked up how to get into the city on public transport, which was my worst nightmare. And I was dripping in discomfort, but we'll get back to that in a little bit. But I made it in the nick of time to the boat. And I was taking a boat cruise up to the Koala Sanctuary. So that was so cool. There was like a cute boat captain. So fun. Mm. Got to the sanctuary and when I first started looking up, I knew I was staying for a week in Brisbane while my cousin and her friend like did their like Great Barrier Reef diving and did part of the road trip without me. So I knew that I wanted to go to this place for many months and I had been very emotional about it. I'd cried a couple times before going there, but like, oh, God. So I get there. So I get there, and the first thing I do is go to a raptor show with birds, and you're sitting in these like bleachers, and they bring out the first bird's a falcon, and they're showing they're the fastest birds in the world. And he was swinging this like leather target. He was swinging it around like this really fast, and the falcon would dive and he would catch it. It was unbelievable. It was so cool. And okay, so this is what's crazy about falcons that I didn't remember to say the first time we recorded this, but you wouldn't know the difference. So falcons are the fastest bird, and this sounds wrong, but I swear he said that they can go at like 500 kilometers an hour or something like crazy. And this is how they do it. So falcons, they have crazy good eyesight. And so they, you know, they're scanning from high up in the sky. And then when they spot something, it can be so small, like a little field mouse, their target is unbelievable. And what they do is they completely fold in their body and they dive straight down. So they're just free falling. Mm. And that's how they reach those insane speeds. And then they'll whoosh, put out their wings and like, whoosh, and they hunt with their talons. So some birds hunt with their talons and grab, and some with their beaks. So they grab with their talons and they're like, and then like, nom, 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 nom. So... So this bird was so fast. We didn't see him like do the dive bomb thing, but he was still really fast. And then this owl came out that was so cool. It was like gorgeous, gorgeous, gorgeous. And this was so fun. So this owl is known for living in forests that very, very like dense forests. And so the special thing about this owl, maybe all owls, but this owl, was that it's a very good flyer. So owls, I think all owls fly completely silently. Like other birds, you'll hear the whoosh of their mm-hmm. wings. They're completely silent. Their feathers are, their wings are designed a certain way. So it's like this owl kept chirping. She was like, she wouldn't stop talking. So he was like, you can't really, she was like, she's feeling chatty today. So you can't really tell how quiet her flight is, but he was telling us all to like get really quiet so we could just hear. And, she would fly. Oh, so they taught her to fly really close to the audience to show how she can just fly so close, but not get you. and I was in one of her flight paths that she's trying to go down. So I have these videos of me, like the bird coming towards me, and then it just like the camera shaking, and I'm like, ah, she flies like right over my head. And like before they did this, they were like, nobody stand up. Do not raise your hand up to do your camera. Like you need to like stay, you need to stay at one height while she's flying. Fucking dangerous.
The United
dude.
States could never.
Would never.
The United States. Did you have to sign a liability waiver?
No, absolutely not. This owl, like I felt the wind in my hair. Like this owl was right over my head.
If so you cool. want to go to an indoor trampoline park in California, mm-hmm. you have to fill out forms. An owl flew one spider's leg away from your body. They said just sit.
They're amazing. Just, like, just don't move. They were like, just don't move. You'll be fine. You'll be fine. And then, okay, so I knew before going that there was this part where you could feed kangaroos, like a petting zoo. So to me, in my head, I'm like, oh, there's probably like a couple kangaroos. There's a lot of, mm-hmm. you know, there's like a worker there and like keeping it very organized and like keeping an eye on us and like this small little area, you know, that was my image of that, like a petting zoo. Yeah. So no, wasn't like that at all. It was fucking crazy. So to me, at least,
Sadie rode the kangaroo. No.
I was held in the pouch of a mama kangaroo.
Wee.
But the, you know, there's a sign. It's like, you know, the free range kangaroo area over here. So that's the thing I did next. And you go in, and it's this huge, it's so awesome. It's this huge, huge, huge open free range area for the kangaroos. And they have a little like marked off spot that they can go, that they know that like, if I go and chill here, you know, it says like, don't go past this line. Like this means the kangaroos don't want to be touched. So they have their space as well. But there's like dozens of kangaroos maybe a fucking 100. There's so many kangaroos. There is not one worker or volunteer in this free range area. There is nobody watching over us. And you just go play with the kangaroos. You just go pet them and hang out with them and sit by them. And they don't give a fuck. So I took the best selfie of my entire life. I will never take a better selfie. The kangaroo is looking right at the camera. I'm like, hey, it's on my Instagram. So go give it some love. Go look at it. It's so cute. So I was just petting kangaroos. I pet like 10 different kangaroos. I just didn't care. There were a bunch of sleepy guys, and it was kangaroos and wallabies. So they were like all different sizes and different colors, and like gray and brown and like reddish brown and like light tan. And they're like, oh my God, they were so cute. And they were so soft. Mm. Oh my God. And I was like, and keep in mind, I'm doing this all by myself. And so I have no one to express to. I'm like looking around at people. Nobody else is by themselves. It's all families and stuff. And I'm just like, I'm freaking out. And then I'm trying to send pictures to like Juliet and my family group chat and my other friend group chat. And my phone, like, I don't know why my phone won't send any media files. So I'm just sending blank bubbles. And I'm like, I don't know that. I'm like, why is nobody responding to my kangaroo selfie?
Oh, no.
I figured it out. My dad and brothers were like, you're just sending blank things. And I was like, oh, I'm petting kangaroos. I'll send it later. I was like, it feels like you guys aren't excited enough about this. But it was so cool. And then I'll get back to the rest of the day. But later in the day, after I did all the rest of the zoo and my koala experience, I came back at the end right before I had to get back on the boat. And this was so cool. So the first time I was in the kangaroo area, they were all like, it was the middle of the day. It was hot. They were all like chill and sleepy, and they weren't really like moving around much. But I don't know. I was standing in this one spot, and they were all kind of sitting in their enclosed area where it's like, look, but don't touch them when they're here. This means if they're over here, they know that, you know, like that's their space. And all of a sudden, they all start perking up and looking in my direction, and they're all like getting really alert. And I have these videos that I don't even think I really posted them. I need to make like a TikTok or something with them. But they all start getting up and just jumping towards me and past me. Like, they don't give a fuck that I'm there. They're like brushing again. I'm like having to like get small. I'm like, ooh, like that. Dozens of them jumping past me. I was crying, laughing. Like, I, and there's other people there too. So we're all just like, oh my God, like what's happening? It was so fucking cool. And it is, oh, I have a chill right now. I cannot explain to you how fucking funny they look moving around. Like, we all know, like, they hop, and we've seen it on video and on TV and whatever. We've all watched Kangaroo Jack. All seen the movie, but seeing them hop around in real life, like, they're just boingy little silly guys. They're so funny looking the way they look like those wind up toys that start like choop, choop, that start jumping. Mm-hmm. Oh my God, it was so funny. And there was a lot of cool other Australian animals at the sanctuary. I saw a platypus, which I was obsessed with when I was little. And that's why I wanted to go to Australia, because I was like, I want to see a platypus in its natural habitat, which they like the dark, and they're very small and very fast. I didn't realize how small they were. So the next best thing was seeing them not in their natural habitat, but at the zoo in Australia. And I saw one, and it was very funny looking. And I didn't know this. Okay, I knew that they were so, I loved them because they were so fucking weird. I feel like God was like, well, we have these leftover parts. Let's just kind of like mush it into this thing and see what happens. But they're mammals. They have a beak. They lay eggs. They're so weird. And also, they're extremely venomous. They're like, what? These cute little guys, and they're venomous.
It's like, this is new information. I have never heard this.
Are you shocked? Are you shocked?
Mm-hmm.
So I saw a platypus, and then the highlight of the day was the koalas. So it's a koala sanctuary. I paid for a koala experience to get to hold a koala and get a professional photo taken. So I'm like, it's almost time for that. You know, I have a little time frame I'm supposed to go. I'm getting nervous. I feel like I'm like meeting a date. I'm like, oh my God, I'm gonna hold a koala. So I walk through this cafeteria cafe area and I'm like, oh, this is so pretty. It's like surrounded by these trees. And then I was like, wait a minute. Every single one of these trees has like 5 koalas in it. And there's like 20 trees. And it's just open. Like there's like a barrier around, but like, it, you know, there's no like fence or glass or anything, you know, it's just open. And oh my God, it was so cute. Koalas are such sleepy little cutie. Oh, they're so cute. They're unbelievable. They're unbelievable. When you see one just like, they'll like stretch and then they'll like open their eyes and they'll be like, and then they just like fall asleep in a new position. Ugh. They're so funny. They sleep 20 hours a day and they eat eucalyptus leaves for 4 hours a day. And someone, when I first shared that I wanted to do this experience, DM'd me and shared the very funny information that eucalyptus leaves have the same effect on koalas. So that's their diet, as THC does on humans. So koalas are just fucking high and sleeping and cozy and just living their best lives. I'm like, you guys deserve this. Like, I'm gonna manifest that I come back as a koala one of these lives. I don't like getting high in this human body, but I feel like as a koala and eucalyptus, I'd be down with it. They're so
cute. It just feels right.
Yeah, I'm like, yeah. You know, next, I might be tired after this life and I could use a little resting one as a koala, I feel like. Oh my God, they're so precious. They're so cute. When they do start moving, they're not as like sluggish as a sloth. They're not quite that slow, but they are pretty, like, they're pretty slow moving. They're just so goofy. And they're just everywhere throughout this, in trees throughout this this sanctuary. And then it was time for me to hold a koala. So I stood in line, and the whole thing moves, they move through that line very quickly. You get to hold the koala for like 30 seconds. I was like, oh, it all happened so fast. I was sweating. I blacked out. I cried when it was over with. It was worth it. Julia, are you ready to be shocked? You ready? So yeah. I held this koala. His name was Connery.
Connery.
And I have a professional portrait with him. If you're watching the video, if you're listening to the audio, you need to come see this on YouTube.
I'm going to tell you something. It's just as good the second time.
I cannot wait to have a home again and frame this. That's Connery. Oh. And I got to hold him. And look at his little paw on my shoulder. Look at him looking at the camera. He just is like, he's like, look, this is my job. And I'm going to show up for it. And I'm going to do a good job. He's like. and they're so sweet. Like, you know, they put him in your arms. And they're like, this is Connery. And they like position you just right there. Like, turn your shoulder a little bit. And like, you know, she takes the picture and. You know, she's like, oh, yep, it's good. You know, she checks to make sure your eyes are open and stuff. Like, it's so sweet. And then, you know, they take him back and they let you, like, scratch his back a little bit. But it's over in, like, you know, like a minute. But I just felt, he just, like, they put him in your arms and he just melts into you. Just completely relaxed. Like, so chill. I felt like I could feel his little heart was just, like, the most pure, just... like innocence, like just the, I can't even describe it, just complete peacefulness, right? Like this like slowness about his energy that was so like grounding. Like I was just like, oh, like I need one of these. It's like a crystal, you know, that you use to like chill out. I'm like, I need a koala. this is what I'm manifesting next.
Smoky quartz koala.
Yeah, I'm like, I'm gonna have a eucalyptus tree.
We have to find you
a koala living in it.
We have to find you a carved koala crystal.
Yeah. Oh my God.
That'd be so sweet.
Yeah, absolutely. So I got to hold Connery.
Connery.
Let me see. I think I held a koala. And I took selfies and I hung out and petted kangaroos. It was unbelievable. It was unbelievable. And I have more animal experiences that I had, but I'm going to save it for next week when I went to the Australia Zoo. Oh, but the whole time I was at the zoo, though, there's also just like tons of lizards and birds and stuff that aren't like part of the sanctuary. They just live there. And like this lizard was, I was eating, I packed a little lunch. I packed a peanut butter sandwich and some chips and veggies. And I was just sitting in this area having a rest before my koala experience. And this lizard just like runs up to me. I have to like move my feet out of the way. Otherwise I would have been on my feet. And he's just sitting there watching me eat my lunch. I'm just like, what are you doing? And then this turkey came and like brushed against my pant leg on the other side as it walked past me. I'm like, what's going on? And throughout my whole time here in Australia, every time I go for a walk, I swear I have to duck because a bird is flying too close, or I get scared because a giant lizard just jumps out of a yard and into the street at me. And I'm like, is this everyone's experience in Australia, that these animals just have so much audacity? They give no fucks. I'm like, this is the energy that I'm embracing from now on, is any given animal in Australia. Or is there something about me? So I'm curious for people who have visited Australia. I know we have a lot of Australian listeners because y'all have been very helpful in my DMs. Are all of the animals here acting like this, just running after everybody, or is something going on? So I'm like,
you're becoming Eliza Thornberry.
Yes. Oh my God.
Mm-hmm.
So that was the big new with me. Now I have no idea. I have no idea where I am. I'm in a motel. I'm about halfway between Brisbane and Sydney. We're on our way to Sydney. We'll be heading there tomorrow. I have less than a week left in Australia, and then I'm off to South Korea and then Japan.
This is going by so fast.
I know. It's been a month already, almost. Not
quite. Wow.
Yeah. So I'm very, very excited for South Korea. And we wrapped up our Activate Your Magic launch last week, and we're really excited about all of the new people we get to work with in that.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was really exciting. And we are conjuring up something really new, something really different than what we've done before. You know, Julia and I both love creativity. Being creative, just in all ways. You know, Juliet's an amazing singer-songwriter, and I love writing and painting. We both love painting and writing, and it's just like we're kind of realizing that so much of what we do to manifest is through our creative practice, and mm-hmm. how many people in our world have said things like, things along the lines of like, I wish I was creative, or I wish I could identify as being creative. And the truth is that creativity is alive and well within all of us. And so we are really interested in cracking that open for people and showing you and inspiring you and leading the way for you to like find that and bring it forward and be able to live mm-hmm. in your fullest expression. Because it's just fun. It's fun to turn life into art in whatever way that is. And I've been listening to this audiobook that I can't remember the name of, but it's by Rick Rubin. It's The Creative Act, I think, something like that. And he says something along the lines of like, the artist earns the title by living in self-expression. Like, that's the only... Mm-hmm. You know, you don't have to be an amazing painter or whatever. You kind of like, I always thought like, oh, an artist is like really like technically good at something in particular that I, you know, placed into art, like painting or whatever. I'm not technically good. I'm not like from a technical perspective good at painting. Doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. I love painting. So I loved that. So we're going to play in that energy of embracing the artist, embracing the creative within all of us. Whether it's like just wanting to pour it out into a journal or write a novel or poetry or paint or crochet or whatever it is. But to like, or share on social media. We know we have people that are like, I really want to show up on TikTok more. I really want to show up on Instagram more. I really want to be seen. We're creating something really exciting to light that fire in you, to fan that flame. So keep an eye out for that this week. We'll share more, but this is just a little teaser. If that sounds exciting, like shoot us a DM, let us know you're interested, because it's our favorite thing to talk about. And I'm getting really excited about it. You can see, like, I'm red. That means I'm excited.
Oh, she is red.
When I start heating up.
Well, we've been sort of contemplating, like, you know, Goddess Sayings, inspiring you to live magically, right? And we talk about mindset, we talk about magic, we talk about manifestation. Then we branched out and talked more about intuition. That's part of living magically. Art, being expressive, loving yourself at like a radical, amazing level. Like, there's so many ways that we can grow and go bigger and deeper in what a magical life means to us. So I just want to say I appreciate that, you know, we're going into, what is this, like our third year as a podcast? Mm-hmm. Like, mm-hmm. And we're going to continue to discover more and more ways to live magically. You know, you can always expect kind of the unexpected with us, because we're always having new realizations, and that's sort of the joy of all of us getting to grow together. Mm-hmm. And so just a quick thank you that, you know,
yes,
it's interesting because when, you know, people have criticized so many artists, like, oh, I miss the old stuff. I miss the old album. I mean, I'll get those messages sometimes, like, I miss your old stuff. And it's like, well, you can go listen to it. It's my stuff from 2008 is going to be different than my stuff from 2023. Like, it's going to grow. Mm-hmm. It's going to evolve. You know, a famous evolver is Taylor Swift. She expresses so many different facets of herself. And I'm a bigger mm-hmm. fan of certain albums than others. But her as a person, I just think is really cool and brave in that way, where she's like, this is what needs to be brought forward right now. And then people will give her a hard time for that. And I'm like, you don't understand art. don't understand expression.
But also, she broke Ticketmaster, and she, mm-hmm. because she lives in her fullest expression, and she didn't, you know, have her first mega successful album and say, well, I want to create something like this, but I better stick to what I know people like, you know, mm-hmm. like she would have fizzled out. I still think she would have been mega successful if she followed the same formula for every album, whatever, but not in the way she is now. People are obsessed with her because she's 1,000% making what she wants to make at any given time. You know, like, it's boring to stick with what you know. It's exciting to create in new ways. And that's what we're realizing is, like, Julia and I both we love becoming obsessed with and learning everything about and diving fully into, like, new topics, new ideas, new ways to express ourselves, new ways, new crafts, new whatever. And mm-hmm. like, we're good at it. And we're like, we want to teach you how to do that, to be like, that sounds exciting to me. I'm going to be good at it. I'm going to find my version of that thing. And I'm just mm-hmm. going to pursue it instead of sitting around and being like, oh, I wish I could, you know, be confident enough to share my writing or share my painting or share my whatever creative projects or share my thoughts and ideas and opinions on social media or whatever it is. Like, if you want to do those things, like, that's what makes you feel alive. It's not the creation of it so much as to sharing it. Like, I'll scribble mm-hmm. a bunch of stuff down in my journal and that feels good. But then when I turn that into a post, whether 11 people like it or 300 people like it, like, it doesn't matter how many people like it, but the moment I press like share, I'm like, oh, I feel fucking alive. And we want that. Like, that's what we're about, is living magically, is being fully alive. And also, when I was at the Australia Zoo yesterday, it like I was crying when they were showing clips of Steve. They made this edit put together of him just being like, you know, like, I'm all in, like, this is my passion. And it was just this compilation of him just screaming about, you know, like living in his life's work. And I was like, shit, this is the energy. Like, the way Steve felt about wrestling alligators, we all got to feel about what we want to create and put out into the world. And we say this all the time, but the success is not in how much validation the world gives you. The success is the moment you share it. Like, sharing is the success. Mm-hmm. And it might not be very good at first. Who cares? Like, if I scroll back to the beginning of my Instagram, or if I listened to our first couple podcast episodes, I'd probably be cringing the entire time. But I'm not going to take that shit down. I want you to see the evolution. I want to see you to see how we weren't good at things at first and now we're good at them. And next year we might look back at content we're creating right now and cringe, and who cares? We had fun making it, you know? Like, that's it. It's like just sharing and evolving and growing and letting people see the evolution. It's fun. Makes you feel alive.
Totally. Totally. I've always loved, like, you know, I don't know how many songs out, but there are, you know, songs that were out at a time. It always feels like releasing birds. Here, fly free. And then you nurture the next one. Mm-hmm. Go fly free. Go touch people's hearts. And I'm on to the next. Yeah. You know, it's fun. And then I think of the people who, like, hold the little bird to their chest their whole life. And, like, you know, we're over here releasing hundreds of birds. And everything comes
we're
back
to birds.
We're laying
eggs.
Let's be honest. Let's be honest.
We're laying eggs. We're nurturing those eggs. And then we let them fly away as our sweet baby birds, so we can make room for more eggs to hatch.
Yeah. So stay tuned for whatever our witchy minds conjure up, because it will always be interesting. It will always be transformative, and it will always be in complete integrity with what we are deeply passionate about. Period. Mm-hmm. That's a guarantee. That's our guarantee.
And it will always be fun.
And it will always be fun. Always. If it's boring, we're not doing it. That we are leaving that behind.
Boo.
Boo. King boring. James. Boo. So let's move into dripping in discomfort. We're right at about the hour mark. You all know, if you don't like a good catch up, you just skip ahead to 1 hour and the episode begins.
And here we are. So the theme today, dripping in discomfort, as we dive into this, reminder that this is our theme in the Alchemy Collective this month. So if this is, like, really hitting for you, if this is really like, oh, I need this in my life, then I would really encourage you to join us in the Alchemy Collective. Even if it's just for this month, we would love to have you.
Yes, come
and so, Juliet, why don't you start us off with dripping in discomfort?
Okay. So I'm trying to remember how I chatted about this last time, but you know what? I'm going to channel something even better this time. So I always like to create this context of, you know, there's different types of discomfort. There's, like, a discomfort where we're, like, you know, obviously, like, hurting ourselves or being unkind to ourselves or being uncomfortable for the sake of being uncomfortable. And just as a precursor, that's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about growing and stepping outside of the familiarity and the comfort zone so that you can experience the things that you want to experience and call in the things you want to call in. And all of that, all of it, without exception, is waiting for you on the other side of discomfort. And so I wrote down, like, all the times we've been uncomfortable. And I'm going to tell you, I'm a little uncomfortable right now. I'm adjusting with my medicine. My head is confused. So that's a little uncomfortable, but it's in the pursuit of what I feel is the right move at this moment. You know, we're sort of, changing our minds and, like, figuring out the next thing that we want to do. And it's exciting. And it's also unfamiliar. And so it's a little uncomfortable. But we're not going to release the same episode or the same thing over and over for the next 20 years. Like, how freaking boring would that be? Yeah. Claiming who you are. When I stood up and was like, I'm a witch, even just in the mirror, I'm not even talking about telling other people. And mind you, mm-hmm. I was a girl who, you know, carried little rocks in my purse in high school, and I would do palm readings, and I always had cards, and I would go to psychic. Like, I was so, it was like obvious. I had just never connected the word.
Yeah.
But something about the word freaked me up, because I was like, ooh, this identity is like outside my traditional comfort zone. I know a lot mm-hmm. of people listening can relate to that, mm-hmm. whether you're like super loud and proud about it or not. And as we always say, either way is perfect. There's no right way to be a witch, as long as you're a nice mm-hmm. person. No hexing. No hexing allowed in our world. So, or claiming to be an artist, or claiming to be a successful entrepreneur, or claiming to be, I mean, anything, any type of new role or new title that we deeply desire. Even the simple act of saying, my name is Juliet and I'm an artist. My name is Juliet and I'm a witch. Like, that can feel mm-hmm. really funky at first. It's uncomfortable. But how can you like drip in that? How can you be like, ooh, I'm uncomfortable, but it's in the pursuit of my passions and I'm on the right track and this is fun. And this is not a sign. This type of discomfort is not a sign that I've made a wrong turn and I have to shrink back up into my shell. It's not a sign. Signs feel different. Mm-hmm. Signs feel a little more like level. That's mm-hmm. our intuition. This isn't yeah. a sign. Another thing that I wrote down was sometimes, like, we're going to talk about like falling in love, going on a first date, going on a dating app. I got, real quick side note, I didn't meet Victor on a dating app, but I was open to it. I went on some dates, and I was never comfortable. I was like, I'm meeting
this person.
Dating
is uncomfortable, but we're willing to do it to get what we want, which is a soulmate, a life partner, a husband or a wife, maybe a spouse. Like, you want that, a family. Mm-hmm. So you're willing to put yourself in uncomfortable positions. And that is so normalized, that kind of like, oh, yep, you know, it's uncomfortable to get there. But like, then when it comes to some other areas of our life, it's like, no. We're not getting uncomfortable
there. That is so true. We are so encouraged. I'm having like a little breakthrough. We are so encouraged to put ourselves out there and go meet new people and go to the speed dating events and make the profile mm-hmm. and go show up somewhere and get to know somebody and then go on a second date. Like, that is so, like, yes, that's what we do. That's how you meet somebody for whatever your goal is, right?
Like, I'm thinking about like, you know, family, like, you know, I've mentioned before, my dad's very like risk averse, you know, he's all in on what we do now, and all, but you know, it was, and it's out of love, right? Out of protection, like that. It's very natural. Mm-hmm. But he would have no problem saying, Sadie, you got to put yourself out there in that area of my life. Right. But then when it came to like mm-hmm. me wanting a business, that was never something that came out of his mouth. You just have to put yourself out there. Even the most, you know, like, it's like, oh, okay, so you're going to tell me put myself out there for that. I'm sorry, but right now, the energy I'm in right now, I could fucking care less about manifesting my life partner. I, like, that's where I am at right now. And that's not how I've always felt. And at some point in my life, I will be in the energy zone of being so ready to manifest that person in my life. But like right now, that is at the bottom of my list. I am so unbothered. If someone were to be like, Sadie,
you'll probably meet them tomorrow.
Yourself out there. Oh my God. If someone was like, Sadie, you really need to start putting yourself out there. You've been single for, I don't know, like 4 months now. It's really, don't you think it's time to put yourself out there? I'd be like, bitch, putting myself out there for my business, putting myself out there for my art. I'm not worried about putting myself out there for that shit. Fuck that.
Imagine
right now.
Imagine if this was flipped, right? Like, because to me, it sounds logical. And again, I always share that, like, I have this background where I grew up watching two parents have their own creative businesses, do whatever they wanted for a living, and they, like, always found a way and made it work. My mom was a photographer with her own business, and my dad is still a musician, and he traveled around the world, and it was incredible. So when I said, I'm going to put myself out there, I'm going to go play shows for complete strangers and sing my super vulnerable songs to them at bars all around the city, I'm going to spend my, you know, babysitting money on making an album that I'm going to print up and sell, and I'm going to make a website. And everybody was like, great, that's fine. Imagine if, like, putting yourself out there for dating wasn't normal. And we told people, and somebody said, like, hey, I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to, like, make this little post with, like, pictures of myself, and I'm going to share very personal information about me. And then I'm going to go meet complete strangers and see if they're the kind of person that will have children with me, that will commit to a life with me, that will sign a pretty serious contract with me, that could financially ruin me. And right, I think I'll wear this dress when I go do it. but we have normalized, like, no, that's a great risk. Go do it.
You should put yourself
out there. That's a great discomfort. You go really be uncomfortable.
Need to put yourself out there more. You really need to be, if you want that, you really need to be putting yourself out there more. You want to start a business?
Oh.
But you have benefits and paid time off. And you don't know, you know, 90% of businesses fail in their first whatever years.
Someone gave us crap once. They were like, not everybody wants to start a business. You don't have to start a business. It's a great example.
No shit.
I'm going to talk about things that I know about. If you love your job, amazing. I couldn't find one that I loved.
Yeah, no. Or it's the same thing. If you're like, your dream job, we say starting a business a lot because that's what we know. There wasn't a dream job out there for me. There just wasn't. Every time I went to a new job interview, I didn't give a fuck. And that's why I always got the job, probably. I was like, yeah, I'm perfect for this. I'm too good for this. I've never interviewed for a job and not gotten the job because I didn't give a fuck, probably.
I have the same experience, except one time they were like, I don't think they liked that I was Jewish, and they were like, goodbye. And that was a bummer. But
okay, well, that is not the same thing. Fuck those guys. Boo.
Yeah, they had a house with two little children, and everything was like, you would never know children lived in that house. You would never know children lived in that house. Everything was white. Everything was like, just please don't sit on that couch. Like, it was like, I can't wait to have children and have my house be like covered in paint and crumbs. And like, I can't wait for it to be like, oh, children live here.
Yeah.
Let's go back to the topic. Sorry.
So, okay. Let's say you don't want to start a business, because to be honest, it's really hard. It's a lot. It's a big investment. You want to work every day for the rest of your life. You want to work 17 hours a day and make $100 that day sometimes. You want to make $2 an hour sometimes. Start a business. But then some days you make $1,000 an hour and it all balances out, right? It's hard. It's not all rainbows and butterflies. Let me tell you that. It's fucking hard work and it takes resilience. So if you have a dream job that exists, do that instead. I wish there was a dream job. I wish there was sometimes, because this is hard. But I wouldn't have it any other way. But let's say you have a dream job. When you go interview for that dream job, you have the willingness to maybe like go through school or do unpaid internships or what, you have the resilience and the willingness to invest the time and money and energy to be the person that gets that dream job. And then when you go, when you interview, when you reach out, when you network, all of that, it's the same thing. It's like, that's uncomfortable. You're nervous when you interview for your dream job. You're nervous when you show up for the first day. You're, it's like, it's the same thing. You know, it's like, you don't get a dream job and not care. There was a lot of discomfort on the way to your dream job. Anyone who's listening who has a dream job, I'm sure they're nodding their head and they're like, yeah, it was a lot to get here. Fuck, it was uncomfortable. I can, I can feel them right now. They're like, yeah. Woo! And those of you thinking about like, oh, I'm on my way. I'm not quite there yet, but I am on my way to my dream job. You're nodding your head. Yes, I am uncomfortable right now. I have an interview coming up. I'm so nervous, but we're willing to do it.
You know how hot that is? You know how hot that is?
Oh. To be sweating and stinking. Like, oh, I can smell the discomfort on me. My sweat only stinks when I'm uncomfortable. If it's just hot.
Terrible.
When I stink, I'm like, oh, bitch, I was uncomfortable today. I was anxious. Non-anxious sweat doesn't stink to me on my body. That's just the way it is. So when I stink,
I'm going
to
tell you right now.
Good today.
Mine all smells equally bad, but
mine's different for some reason. But usually, oh, stinks,
she's just got a magical armpit. She got a magical armpit.
Stress sweat hits different.
Oh, here, what else? What else did I write down? What else is uncomfortable?
I want to say this second recording is
better. I was just thinking that. Thank you.
Thank you, universe.
Gosh. Taking up space is uncomfortable at first. I dare you. Some of you have just joined. Some of you have just started listening to our podcast. You're like, I'm on episode 12. I'm like, buckle up because we get way bigger.
And weirder. And goofier.
I don't have a personality for the first 15 episodes. I'll tell you what. It's like season one of Friends. It's not good yet. It's not good yet, but it gets there.
It is amazing to me that people start at episode one and they see it through. And I'm like, really? Back then?
I'm like, do you make it to the end? Or are you like, these girls are different now? I hope you just see just growth and joy. We got that. Wasn't that a thing? You've changed, bestie. I was like, thank you for your review. Screenshot it. Send it to us.
Telling us we'll how send much you, we change.
We'll send you a meditation. We'll send you a meditation for a bad review. I don't care.
We will.
Yes. If people aren't ever telling you that you've changed,
it's
are
sus.
You doing you anything interesting?
It's sus. Sus. Side eye. Side eye.
Side eye. Change.
You've
oh
changed.
My gosh.
Thank you. I know. And I love this version of me. Ah! She's hot. She's alive. She's alive. This is why we had to re-record so I could scream into the microphone.
Oh my god. I'm gonna have to start recording holding it. I'll feel like we're like old-timey newscasters.
It's kind of a vibe. I'm like, maybe this is how I record from now on.
Okay, cool. I'll try it next
do
week.
I look cool? Do I look as cool as I feel?
The way that you hold it to the side.
It's because I'm so smushed in my tiny ass motel room. I'm like backed against a wall. I don't have a lot of room.
So I'm like, not a lot of room for the wingspan.
There's not a lot. It's pretty dire in here.
Okay. Hold on. Let's back up. Taking up space is uncomfortable. If you grew up in the body or appearance or identity of a woman, we are not taught to do this. If any time that we're big and bold, we're told that we're bossy, not that we're like assertive. One time there was a professor in college who wanted me to do something a certain way, and I just like wasn't like he wanted me to do my senior project. He was like, I think you should compare your music to elementary school students. I was like, I'm not doing that. Like, I was like, that's so boring. I was like, I want to do it this way, or I'm just going to not do a senior project.
Like, how about I compare my music to Britney Spears, bitch?
I was like, no. And he said to me, and I think he meant it as a little bit of a dig, but I took it as a compliment. He said, you know, you are the most strong-minded person I've ever met. And I was like, good.
You know, I'm thinking back to an episode we had with the amazing Destiny, and she said, I move through the world with the audacity of a mediocre white man. They give no fucks. They're like, I deserve to be here. I deserve to take up this space. I deserve to complain. I deserve to speak up. And that, like, that's the vibe. It's like, we're like, be humble and be quiet. And so much of my programming, and I don't know, is it just being a woman, or I don't know where it came from, is like, let me be uncomfortable so that other people are comfortable. Let me put myself out so that I don't, even if I'm like, Could we stop the bus so I can go to the bathroom, but I don't want to inconvenience the other people on the bus or some shit like that. It's like, we're so concerned. And part of that is, you know, we have this like mothering, nurturing nature, but it's not meant to be that way, where we put ourselves out for others to be more comfortable.
It's so interesting because I don't know what the intersection of it would be, where it's like, I get to be big. I get to take up space. I get to speak up. And it's not in the spirit of hating men, because I feel like men are just raised with the same information we're raised with. I love men. You know?
Yeah, I love men. But also,
and it's like hard to hear.
You finish your thought. And I'll
say, so it's unusual when there's a conversation about this that doesn't end in like, screw men, because I'm like, no, I love them, and they're just dumb sometimes, and they were just taught that we're like little.
Well, and think about the energy of like, oh, boys will be boys, but there's no girls will be girls. There's no, it's like, no, sit down, be quiet, put longer fucking shorts on so that the boys don't. It's like, I love men too. I love them. But like, it's like, why do they just, boys will be boys. And I'm like, yeah, well, what about me? I want to be me. Sadie will be Sadie. Nobody ever says that shit to me. You know, it's like,
I know you so well that whenever you make certain decisions, I'm like, oh, well, that's Sadie being Sadie. So you do have it. Trust me.
I mean, when I'm growing up, I think, but you know, like what I mean? Like I had two brothers and it was like, or just being in a class, you know, and just seeing that sort of shrug and like rolling the eyes, but kind of laughing it off. But then like if girls were like acting out or talking or whatever, it was like, shh. You know, it was like, it was different energy. It was just
talks too much. That was always on the report card. Talks too much. You know, I think we all maybe have a memory. This is ingrained in me, where I used to go out and play with my little cousin, who's a boy. He's like a year younger than me. We would go play out in like the front yard or whatever at my grandma's house. And we would both just like wear our underwear. And this went on for years. Yeah. And then one day I vividly remember my grandma saying, you need to wear a shirt now. I was probably 4.
Yes, I have the same memory.
And it's at that moment, and I didn't understand. It's in that moment where it's like, oh, I have to conceal who I am in some capacity. Like, that's how we sort of internalize that. Like, oh, I have to, like, I can't be as free. And it's just this interesting thing. Right. Like, I have like, this memory.
Hide more of me, even though they get to be in their fullest expression in a metaphorical, energetic way. It's like they can be fucking not naked, but you know, they can run around in just their shorts or boxers. But I better, you know, be concealed. Just the energy of
that.
It starts
young.
It makes us. It makes us feel like, oh, like there's something about me that I have to hide. There's something about me that is wrong that I have to move through the world differently. The energy of that. Yeah.
And I think about, this is great. I think about, in connection to dripping in discomfort, all the times that like men, I'll just say people, all the times that people have asked things of me and I just did it because it would have been more uncomfortable to say, this is a weird, I'm not doing this. Like one time I had this meeting with somebody who claimed that they were with a record label. They worked in like the office doing filing. They had no pull there, I realized afterwards. But I was sitting at this meeting and he said, stand up. And I was like, okay. And as he goes, now turn around. And it was so creepy. No. And he's like, he goes, the label's going to love you. And I should have been like, you stand up, which is what I would do now. I'd be like,
twirl for me, bitch. Standing up.
You twirl. Do a curtsy. Do a cartwheel. Whoa.
Bow.
That was a gross moment, right? Yeah. Where I was dripping in the wrong kind of discomfort. The discomfort that in hindsight I would have liked to be dripping in was to stand up for myself and say, I'm not standing. This isn't a dog show. I'm not standing up. And I'm also not auditioning to be a runway model. That's a job where they need you to stand up and turn around. Okay. Any other job, they don't need you to do that. So there's just times when, you know, we have like this, we like hide what we want to say because it would be more uncomfortable to speak up. I was getting my oil changed and this was maybe a year or so ago. And this guy, like, you know how at the Valvoline, the Jiffy Lube, like your address pops up, which should not happen. I think I called them after. I was like, you got to pull that from the system. And this guy's like, oh, you live in this town? Like, what do you do for work? I was like, oh, you know, I'm in sales. Oh, where? Oh, Santa. I'm answering these questions. It wasn't just typical conversation of like, how's your day going? It was not like casual. He's like, oh, wow. Like, does it bother your boyfriend that you drive all the way out to Santa Monica? And I said, you know, these are really weird questions. I wish you would stop. And like, I was so proud of myself for saying that. But a year earlier, I would have just kept answering these dumb questions.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, been like, you know, you're making me really uncomfortable. Or like, I was at a gas station recently and this person approaches me. And did I tell you that I was like, do not come near me?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it was one of those things where I was like, I'm uncomfortable. I'm nervous. I get a weird vibe. And a couple years ago, I would have like let them come up to me and have a conversation. And like, I would have been uncomfortable the whole time. And it was uncomfortable to be like, no, thank you. No. But
yeah.
Like, but it felt good after. I was like, oh, look at me like standing up for myself.
Discomfort in standing in your values, you know, like it's the energy of like the universe responds to your energy. And so like when we say yes to something, we're saying no to something else, like that kind of idea of like when I say no to that, I'm saying yes to being my energy being respected when I'm in public spaces or whatever, right? It's like a really powerful way to say like I demand differently. Like, I'm sick of this shit happening. I demand differently. And the more that you practice doing that, like, eventually your energy is so rock solid in that particular arena that people just sense it and they won't come up to you in that way anymore. And you won't even have to fucking say it anymore. I really believe that, you know?
This is fascinating because I always had these like weird run-ins with authority figures, like I was arrested when I was 17 for truancy. I was like walking to school and like the woman made such a big deal. Like it was so, I was like, I'm grabbing a bagel because I'm hungry. I mean, put in a cop car, had to go to court. Like it was a whole thing. And I was not causing any trouble of any kind. And then when we went to Hearst Castle, this guard came over and was like, he was a police officer. He's like, you put your feet in the water. I'm like, no, I didn't. And he's like, standing over me, like causes a big, and I had this total meltdown. And I mean, it was this whole thing, but that so aligns because I never stood up for myself. I bowed down to everybody else's authority. And then I was attracting that kind of stuff. And now I haven't had that happen like in ages. Mm-hmm. I haven't had that happen. Because when people come up to me with like their BS, I'm like, no. I'm not like really bending story. For everybody. Tell me.
I have a really good story about this that I was going to tell next week because it's new with me this week. But it's a very good example of how fucking quickly the universe will respond to you when you dig your heels in for your values. Mm. So, okay. So here's the story. Here's the juice. Okay. Your girl Sadie reached out. I think I mentioned this in other episodes where I was like, oh my God, this hot guy that like I met in Europe like 7 years ago. And we were like, we like traveled around for like 2 or 3 weeks together. We were so into each other, whatever. And he's Australian. And I reached out to him and turns out he lived in Brisbane where I was staying for over a week. And so, you know, like I initially messaged him and was just like, I know Australia is a big place. So by chance, this is where I'll be. And, you know, he's like, yeah, I'm in Brisbane. Cool. And then when I got to Brisbane, I messaged him. I was like, hey, I'm here now. And I just, so we made a plan to hang out. And then I decided, like, I was like, I have calls early in the morning. It was actually us recording the episode that disappeared. So I was like, can we actually meet tomorrow night instead? And he was like, totally fine. And so the next day came and I was just like, this person isn't excited enough to see me. Like, he responded every time I texted him. But I was like, this is not the energy that I want from men or women or people that I'm interested in dating. I was like, this is just not. So, but I was like, all right. I was like, you know what? Like, because we were going to meet up when he was done with work. So I was like, I'm still going to go into the city and do everything I wanted to do. I'm going to go to the art museum and I'm going to go walk around this like mall area. But I'm not going to reach out to him because I'm the one that keeps initiating, which was necessary because I'm traveling and need to let him know, whatever. But I was like, he's going to, if he wants to hang out, if he's excited to see me, he will message me when he's done with work and we'll have our plans and whatever. So go to the art museum, go to the mall, it's getting later. And I'm just like, I know if I text him right now that we will be hanging out within like 30 minutes. I know that we will. So I can hang out with this person if I want, but I'm a goddess. I need you to be on the edge of your fucking seat to see me, to hang out with me, or I don't want to hang out with you. I don't want half-ass energy, right? And so I really like dug my heels in on this and I was like, I really want to see this person. I was really excited, but like, if they're not equally excited to see me, no thanks. And I'm going to show the universe. And I just had this voice in my head that was like, this is a moment. This is an important moment. And if like you need to set a precedent right now. So it's getting later. I'm like, okay, like he hasn't messaged me. This isn't happening. So I'm like, I'm going to, I had like kind of seen everything I wanted in that area. And I was like, I'm going to sit down at this place that I saw live music and I'm going to get dinner and a glass of wine. And I have my journal with me. I'm like, I'm going to write. And I was feeling so good. I was like basically stood up, but I was like, I'm so glad that I didn't just like keep like reaching for this thing that wasn't reaching back for me. I felt unbelievably good and proud of myself. I felt so proud. So I sit down. There's these two men at the table next to me that I see kind of like glancing over there in their like 50s, you know. And then one gets up and leaves. And shortly after, the other one comes over to me. And he's this Australian guy. I'm not going to try and do his accent, but it was adorable. And he's like, you can absolutely say no. I don't want to make you feel uncomfortable, but my brother was just couldn't stop telling me how gorgeous you were. And I was wondering if maybe we could take a selfie and I could pretend that I was sitting with you now. And we were having a drink together to annoy him, to piss him off. And I was like, sure, I don't care. So take a selfie with him. And then he like goes to the bar to get another drink and he buys me a drink. He had like asked what I have a full glass of wine already. He sends over another drink and he's just like, he's like, cheers. Like, thanks again. And when he sits back down at his table, before he was sitting facing me, when he sits back down, he sits facing away from me. So he's no longer, his energy is no longer directed at me. I can enjoy the glass of wine he bought me in peace. His back is turned to me. I was like, that is the shit. To come over to my table and say, you are the most gorgeous woman that me and my brother have ever seen in our entire lives. Here's a glass of wine. And now I'm going to turn my back to you so you don't feel like I'm looking at you or anything anymore. I'm going to respect you. And I was like, this is the universe saying, good job, Sadie. Let us get you a glass of wine on fucking us. And it felt so good. And then like when he got up and left, he said, we had a laugh like one more time. He was like, thanks again. Like, you know, cheers on your travels, whatever, because we had chatted briefly. And he left. I was like, the universe was showing me. It was like, this is what you deserve. Does someone just appreciate you and not bother you and not try to pull energy from you or not give you enough? Like, I was like, this is my perfect date night. And I got a little bit wine drunk because I was only planning on having one glass of wine, but I was going to drink it. So I like little buzz taking the train home. And I was just like, if I had like messaged that guy and gone and hung out with him and probably hooked up with him, let's be honest. And then like been like taking the train home late at night or in the more early in the morning or whatever, I would have just felt like, ugh. I would have felt like, ugh, I still know he wasn't as obsessed with me as I was with him. Right. Like I would have been drained. And instead I felt so overflowing, so inspired, so seen, so respected, so taken care of by the universe in that moment. And it was uncomfortable for me. It was a moment where I had to be like, yeah, I'm being stood up, but how am I going to make this the most magical, empowering thing of my life? And like, it was, I have never felt so good. And like, that was a moment where I was like, this is what I want to show the world to do. This is alchemizing. This is alchemizing. I was like giggling. I was giggling. I felt so much joy in like having made that decision and feeling so fucking powerful. And that was, and like the way the universe immediately responded, you know, and it wasn't a guy trying to sit down at my table and me being like, oh, no, I have to talk to him. You know, it was like, buy a glass of wine. Let me turn my back to you so you know that I'm not trying to hook up with you. I'm not trying to keep the conversation going. It was I was just like, fuck yes. Thank you, universe, for rewarding me for me being a bad bitch, for digging my heels in and being like, no, this isn't the energy I'm putting up with. It felt so good. And that is how the universe responds to your energy. That's standing in your values, even when your dignity might be hurt a little bit. Like, oh, ouch, they never reached out to me. I've never felt so powerful.
I love that story. And it was probably like you said, momentarily uncomfortable to just take yourself out. You know, I mean, at first, I think for anybody that's because it's like socially odd for some reason. It shouldn't be. Oh my gosh.
I love it. I love going out to dinner by myself. I love having my little journal and writing, and I love it. Can't get enough.
Basically, anytime you step into a bigger and badder and bolder version of who you are, you claim a new title, you invest in yourself, you take up space, you express who you are, you express the ideas in your heart, you open your heart, all these things are going to be uncomfortable at first. But it's the only way. It's the only way to get to where you're trying to go. It's the only way. I don't know. I have not found a way around it. I haven't. And I think that's why this reframing is so fun, to be like, oh, I'm dripping in it. Because if this is the only way there, might as well enjoy the journey, might as well celebrate it and have fun. Right.
Well, and think about how exhilarating it feels when you putting yourself in a place of discomfort works out, right? Like, how exhilarating is it to be so nervous for a first date and then it to go well and being like, oh, I'm so glad I put myself out there. And even when you're nervous, you put yourself in discomfort to go on a date and it's not a good date, it's still, you still feel like, okay, but I did something. Okay, but mm-hmm. I went out and I said, no thanks, or whatever, right? Like, when you stand in your power and you're like, I know I want this for my life, and so I'm going to show up to the dream job interview, even though internally my stomach is in knots and I'm trying not to sweat through through my shirt, you know, like, how exhilarating is it to do that, to put yourself in those positions for things that you really, really want, right? So if, like, I think the thing that we is important for us to do, if we have a hard time putting ourselves out there for big things that we want, if that feels really impossible right now, if, like, you, like, you see the posting for your dream job and you just can't get yourself to submit the resume or whatever it is, you have the vision for your dream business, you can't get yourself to show up for it in the way you want, you have the vision in your mind, you can't express it into the world on social media to market it, whatever it is, it's like, how can you practice in small ways on a daily or weekly basis getting uncomfortable, putting yourself in discomfort? Is it taking yourself, maybe it's every week you take yourself out for dinner by yourself, if mm-hmm. that's uncomfortable, maybe that's your practice, so that when it's time to put yourself in discomfort for big things that you're really invested in, you're like, oh, I know how this feels, and it feels fucking fantastic. I'm mm-hmm. ready for it. I've trained for this. Because, you know, it's like, we all have those things. I'm going to shorten this story, but like, I had this crazy fear and anxiety about public transportation that makes literally no sense because our phones will lay it out for you so easily now. But when I took public transportation into Brisbane on Koala Day, I got completely lost. Worst nightmare. You don't have Wi-Fi. You're like, I took the wrong bus to the wrong train station. I had to figure it out. It was my worst nightmare. And now I am completely cured. I have quantum leaped into, I give no fucks about public transportation. But this is also just like, I lost my train of thought. This is where I was going. Sometimes some of the things that make us really uncomfortable are ridiculous and don't make sense. And sometimes they're very well-founded and make sense, right? No, I lost my train of thought again. Where's it going?
You lost your public transportation train of thought?
Yeah, I've Get just it? Completely disappeared. Train of thought. The train has left the station. My train left the station without me. Oh, okay. I wanted to talk about the fact that we have this fight or flight, you know, system in our bodies. Mm-hmm. And it's like my fight or flight system was telling me that I was going to die if I went on public transportation. It was telling me that, like, if you fuck this up, it's over, bitch. Like, that was what my, like, I knew rationally that I would be fine, but my nervous mm-hmm. system was completely fried when it came to this thing. And then the universe was like, look, she needs to get over this, so we're just gonna mess this up for her. And oh, it was a stressful morning. It was 6 a.m. when I left. It was like 6:30, whatever, doesn't matter. It was the most stressful morning of my life. I was like, I'm not gonna make it to my riverboat cruise. I paid all this money for this. I'm not gonna make it to the koalas. I would have just figured it out in Uber or something. But anyways, we have to show our nervous systems that we'll be okay. Like, it's mm-hmm. it's this instinctual nature in us, and it's nothing to be mad at or frustrated about or feel bad about or feel like, I was like, okay, yeah, it is kind of fucking dumb how scared of public transportation I was, but it's not my fault. Okay. My fight or flight was telling my body this thing, and I had to get it out of my system. So it's like, it truly is, from a more like scientific standpoint, like, we have to train our nervous systems what is indeed danger and what is not danger. Going on a date, sending a DM, you know, sending a cold email pitch, whatever, starting the business, showing up online. We just have to do it. And it doesn't have to be good at first. It doesn't. And it, you can, if you feel like you're going to die when you do it, fine. I get it. been there. But it's really, you have to find the ways to show yourself, and you'll be amazed by how quickly you move past it. I was unbelievably nervous about that morning. I had to go on public transportation. Guess what I did the next 3 days in Brisbane? I was like, ooh, where can I take the train to today? I feel so empowered. Taking the train makes me feel like a bad bitch now. And I'm sitting on that train and I'm like, look at me, not feeling a lick of anxiety. I have to do a transfer. I don't care. I don't care. I love being here. Now I'm like, now I get high on going on public transportation because I'm like, wow, I'm cured. And it's the best feeling to move past that. And that's how going live on Instagram or posting or showing, oh my God, showing up for coaching calls at first was unbelievable. I was like, I don't want to go. I'll refund them all their money. I don't want to go. Everything is like that. And now it's my favorite thing ever. And it feels so natural and at home. And, you know, we all have to start somewhere. So practice dripping in discomfort and you're going to create so much cool stuff in your life. You're going to live
that. Anytime you feel that type of discomfort, be like, ooh, I'm getting hotter. Ooh. Ooh. I'm so hot and cool.
I'm a bad bitch.
Oof. And if you're like, oh my God, I want to go deeper into this. I want to embody this at a bigger level. I want to play in this energy more. Come inside the Alchemy Collective. We have an amazing masterclass this week. And if you're listening to this after this week, there's a replay. So a come replay. On in.
Oh my God, well, what a fabulous so episode. I love it. You know what? I thought, oh no, we have to re-record it. What if our energy is low? And it...
No, it's better.
Turned out being way better than the first round. So maybe every week we're going to record our episodes twice. No, I'm just kidding. We're not. We're absolutely not.
Yeah, we have... Because we have the time and the energy for that.
Oh my gosh. Well, thank you, everyone. Go out there. Do something uncomfortable. DM us or tag us in a story or comment on this YouTube video. Like... Tell us about something. Maybe you already have a story about something that used to really scare the shit out of you. And now you're like, oh my God, I feel so powerful now. I feel like it's no big deal. Or what you are going to push past this week. What's a way that you're going to drip in discomfort this week? Tag us in a story. DM us. We love to hear from you. Following us. Our handles are all the same on TikTok and Instagram at Goddess Hangs. I'm at I am Sadie Olson.
I'm at Juliet.Piper. We're so grateful for all of you. Thank you so much for everything. We have tons of freebies for you. Go to our Instagram, find out more. And you just have the most magical day. Bye.
Bye.